Evan, part two. Before we get started, I thought I'd do a quick recap of last week's sermon for those that weren't here. Anybody weren't here? I don't think you were here, Josh. Number one, we learned that heaven is a real place and that God dwells there, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Number two, we also learned that the gates of heaven is narrow and hard. The road is hard, but it will be worth it when we get there. Number three, who will make it to heaven? There are many texts telling us who will be in heaven, but one of them is in John 3:16, which tells us whosoever believes in Jesus will be saved. You must accept him as your personal Savior, as Acts 4:12 also tells us. And there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved. Number four, how are you saved? It's a free gift to all who want to accept it. Number five, who will not go to heaven? There are verses telling us that as well, such as Galatians 5, 19 through 21 and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 12. Number six, when will we go to heaven? When Jesus returns for us, you can read about it in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 5:11. That's why we're Adventists. We believe in the second advent of Jesus. What is the holy city like? It's more beautiful than we can even imagine. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor heart has the wonderful things that God has prepared for us. Number eight, is there room for everyone? Yes, there is. This is going to be a huge city, shaped like a cube, 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. Revelation 12:21-17. That's why you can't even imagine a building that high. Nine, what will keep us healthy in heaven? Revelations 22:1-2 says, the tree of life. Number 10, will we have fears or worries in heaven? Absolutely not. God himself will wipe away all our tears and be with us forever. I can't wait. How many of you want to be in heaven? My text for today is from Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for being able to come with us today to worship with you on your Sabbath day. Give me the wisdom to present the message clearly about what it means to have your kingdom at hand. In thy holy name, amen. I'm going to talk to you about the kingdom of heaven. 1969, our family took a trip to Youth Congress in Zurich, Switzerland. You remember that, Mark? Yeah. On the way, we visited Germany. I remember viewing the East Berlin Wall from an overlook on the West Berlin side. Any of you ever done that? Yeah, that was really quite something. We also boarded a bus and crossed through the famous East-West Berlin crossing. They would warn us about what we could do and what we could not do, and it was all pretty intimidating and scary, especially for a teenager. Well, years later, communism in that country fell overnight. I remembered Ronald Reagan saying, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. These people deserve to be free. And it was shocking, it happened. There was a change of government and policy overnight. This happened so quickly without even firing a shot. The only way that that could have been achieved so quickly is because there were so many people that wanted to be part of a different government. So when the opportunity came, they seized it. They said, "We don't want to be part of this communist government anymore." They were so dissatisfied with it that when the opportunity came, they switched to a different government, because in the hearts of the people, they identified with something else. You know, that's going to happen again in this world. There's a lot of people in this world who are not satisfied with the present kingdoms and are longing for a different regime. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. "In those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, said, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I wonder how the Roman government felt about John the Baptist preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Did they think that John the Baptist was starting a revolt, setting up a new government way out in the wilderness? Was there going to be a big Jewish revolt? They were surprised if that's what they thought. Anyway, Matthew 4:17, Jesus began preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Is Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is available in some 2,000 years when he comes again? No, he is saying that it is available now. Matthew 10:7, Jesus said to his disciples, "As you go preaching, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That's what he was instructing his disciples to do. Let them know the kingdom of heaven is right at hand. Also in Mark 1:14 and 15. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Now if it was good for John the Baptist and good for Jesus 2,000 years ago, and good for the disciples to say that when they preach the gospel, that is what I want to say today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, why do I want to say that? Because it is what Jesus told me to do, and it is the truth. What am I talking about today? The spiritual kingdom is available today. But this is even more urgent than it was 2,000 years ago. You know why? Because both the spiritual kingdom is at hand and the literal kingdom is very near. The soon coming of Jesus to take us home with him to heaven. That is why we are Adventists. We believe in the second advent of Jesus. How do you gain citizenship within the spiritual kingdom of God? You have to be born into it. You are naturalized into this kingdom by birth. John 3:3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Is that clear? It's clear to me. You need to be born again. John 1:12 and 13. "But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You have to be born of the Spirit to be citizens of this kingdom. That is what gives you permission to be citizens of this kingdom. The Lord says, if you want to be citizens of my country, my land, then you should be willing to obey the King. There was a group of people who went to Australia to do their own thing. They wanted to set up their laws and not follow the laws of the country. After it started to become apparent they were not going to follow the laws of the land, the government of Australia threw them out. What a novel idea today. If people don't want to obey the laws of the land, throw them out. What does Jesus say about obeying the king? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Pretty clear, isn't it? Obedience is part of God's kingdom. There's a story of obedience that I found. How we admire the obedience of a dog to his master. Any of you have a dog that obeys you pretty strictly? It's amazing, isn't it? Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man explained to Rutledge how it happened. Because he worked outdoors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, the dog was with him and left him in a clearing and gave him the command, stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. His faithful friend understood, for that is what he did. Then a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. But he didn't move. He stayed right where he was, in perfect obedience to his master's word. With tearful eyes, the dog owner said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do, because I knew he would do it. Isn't that the obedience we would like to see? Matthew 7:24-27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, but it did not fall. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now that's a clear word picture, isn't it? God made his illustrations perfectly clear. All of heaven is waiting for those who discover the will of God and do it. Blessed are those that believe it and do it, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know where that text is found? That text is found in Luke Hersher, Sutherland, Oregon. I made that up, but it is from the Bible. Just knowing is not enough. You have to do it. Obedience to God. We need to be doers of his word, have a willingness to obey. Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 18:3-4. Truly I say unto you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's radically different from all the kingdoms of this world, is it? Matthew 23:12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. What about loving and forgiving enemies instead of revenge? Is that normal or natural? About praying for those who spitefully use you and persecute you? Is that what we are to do on earth? We should do that. That is God's law for his kingdom. How about the idea that you will tell the truth no matter what, even if it hurts or kills you? That is God's law. You are praised for being a servant in God's kingdom. Is that how we're praised here on earth? You're praised here on earth when you have all these people serving you, aren't you? When Jesus was the greatest was when he humbled himself the most, washed his disciples' feet, and willingly died for us innocently. What does it mean to have the kingdom of heaven within you? You become Christ-like. You are obeying God's laws here on earth. You are humble, meek, kind, loving, caring. You still live here on earth, but you're in another world. You have God's law written in your heart. What is the greatest harm to Christianity today? You ever thought of that? Those who say they are Christians represent the kingdom of God and are not obeying God's laws. They are not being good ambassadors for God. We say we are Christians, but we don't talk like we are Christians and we don't act like we're Christians. As Jesus' representatives, we want to be good ambassadors and obey his laws, obey our King to this world. Now there's going to be a lot of people who will not be in heaven because they looked to people like you and me instead of the example of God, Jesus Christ. Woe unto you and me who don't represent God fully. They should have done what? Yes, look to Jesus, look to God, and obtain their laws from the Bible, his holy word. They will miss the boat, and their excuse will be others, when in fact it was the fact that they refused to follow Christ's example. Another idea, if you are ambassadors for God, what does that make the church? You ever thought of that? The embassy. Do you know that the people of an embassy have special protections? We pray and ask for a hedge of angels to protect us and our families. Does God do that? Yes, he does. And also, did you know that in many governments, a church is treated as a sanctuary, a safe haven? That's pretty inspiring. Colossians 4:6. How should a Christian talk? Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer everyone. Christians talk different. You should talk like a person from God's kingdom. You should listen to a person. When you listen to a person from God's kingdom, you realize whether he is a Christian or not by his accent. If you're a member of God's kingdom, you have different priorities. What should your priority be? The kingdom of heaven is our ultimate priority. Do you have priorities in your life? How about putting gas in your car? Has any one of you forgotten to put enough gas in their car at one time in their life? Can you raise your hand if you have? Go ahead, raise your hand. Raise mine because I've done that not once, but several times, and each time it was not fun for Barb. She can tell you in detail my lack of priority and put enough gas in the car. But what about an airplane? How many of you would make it a priority to put more than enough gas in an airplane or fly with someone who did not put enough gas in the airplane? When you go out to your car, do you put a stick in the tank and measure to actually see how much gas tank to know that you're car is full of gas? No, you trust your thing, and then if your gauge fails, you say, oh well, I'll walk. But you don't do that in a plane. They not only check their gauge, they take a stick and measure to make sure they actually visualize they have enough gas. You want to double check it and triple check it. What does Jesus say about our priorities should be? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours. Seek ye the kingdom of God should be your priority. Everyone wants the kingdom of God, but not everyone wants to make it their first priority. Luke 9:62. No one who put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? You look forward because it is a priority. There's no turning back, or you may look like Lot's wife. Every kingdom has a constitution, the final word of law. What is ours here in America? Anybody know? The U.S. Constitution tells us what is right, what is wrong, and what is just. What is the Christian Constitution? The Bible. What did Jesus say? Luke 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:24-35. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. Do we have a document here on earth that tells about the laws of God's kingdom? Yes, we do. The Bible is the final and only place to go to determine what the will of our King is, who is the ruler of the world right now. Satan. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. He is saying there are two kingdoms down here on earth, that of Satan and that of God. If you're not following the rules of God's kingdom, then you are following the rules of Satan's kingdom. It's kind of scary, isn't it? There's a conflict between these two kingdoms, and we need to choose God's kingdom here on earth if we want to be in God's kingdom in heaven. By the way, you do not get dual citizenship. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. You cannot do both. You cannot enjoy the pleasures of sin and then say, I guess I'll be a Christian once a week. Where is your heart? Is it in the world or is it in Christ's kingdom? Ultimately, you have to make a decision. In the final word into this world, when Jesus comes, either we'll have to join God's kingdom or Satan's. You will not be able to stay neutral. And if you stand on the sideline and don't choose either one, you will have ultimately rejected God's kingdom. Should we pray for our kingdom? Yes. Samuel said, pray for the king. You ever read the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Yes, we should pray for our kingdom of God. Right in the Lord's Prayer, twice it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is ended by saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. This is central to Christ's teaching. The kingdom of heaven is like a net cast in the sea. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant sinking pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like... Jesus is trying to get us to think kingdom thoughts that are different from this world. What are the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 6:19. Jesus says, I will give you the keys to unlock the kingdom. That is a pretty powerful thing to have. What is the key? Jesus is the key you need to unlock the hearts of others that they might find eternal life in the kingdom of God. Anytime you preach, you should preach Jesus, because he's the only key. Isaiah 22:22. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And that is quoted by Jesus in Revelation. You and I are given the keys to unlock the gate of heaven for others. What does that mean? What a privilege that you and I can go around to help others find citizenship in God's kingdom. You are given the keys to help others change their citizenship. What an honor to be the key to help others to God's kingdom. What will be the only kingdom that will last? Jesus said, kingdoms come and kingdoms fall, but his kingdom will last forever. Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left to other people, and it shall break into pieces all these other kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. If you knew there is one kingdom that will stand forever and last for eternity and give you eternal life, which one do you want to be part of? Don't you want to be on the winning team? The kingdom that will last forever is Jesus. Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. How does that happen? It begins by accepting the inner kingdom, the one available now. So repent, then you have the literal kingdom of God also. Romans 6:12-14. Don't let sin reign. Don't let sin reign. Let Jesus reign in your heart, for sin shall not have dominion over you. When you accept Jesus, you will have a new power on the throne of your heart. Before you are a Christian, sin reigns in your heart. But after you become a Christian, Jesus reigns in your life. You have a new pattern. You are growing in Christ. Notice I said growing. We are not there all at once. And who will make up the difference? Jesus. You are growing in sanctification, and that is good news. Colossians 1:27. To them, God chose to make known how great among Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, your mind is filled with him. What is the main law of Christ's kingdom? Love. That is opposite of this world's primary mode of action, isn't it? Selfishness. Don't you want the kingdom of God that is based on love? Here's the good news. Everyone is invited to be a part of the kingdom. I want to give you this example of Saul and David. Saul was anointed king. And then Saul was removed from power, and David was anointed king. But Saul was still on the throne, and it didn't look like David was king. But God said he would be king, didn't he? And that is the way it is in this world. The devil, Satan, has lost his kingdom. It may look like he's king of this world, but like Saul, he is not. Christ has taken the kingship, and it doesn't look like he is king, but he is king. 1 Samuel 2:22-2. Everyone who is in distress, everyone who is in debt, everyone who is discontent, they gathered to David. He became captain over them. Everyone can come to Jesus and be part of his kingdom. Even before he comes back to reign on this earth. Remember this, those who joined David before he took the throne are those who ruled with him when he finally took the throne. Those who were faithful to him when it looked like he was the underdog are those who reigned with him and were promoted when he did take the throne. Right now, Jesus looks like the underdog in this world, doesn't he? But if you and I, even though we are poor and discontent and in distress and in debt, will join ourselves with Christ, we will reign with him. What does it mean the kingdom of heaven is at hand? It means it's within reach. It means you can take it now. How sad it is that when the kingdom is at hand right now and you don't want it. How sad, because this kingdom on earth is not going to last. To miss something that is very close is sad, tragic. One of the tragedies, greatest tragedies in history, is about the South Pole expedition. There was a Norwegian team that was led by Amundsen. And there was an English team that was led by Captain Robert Scott. And both, about the same time, were trying to make their way to the South Pole. It was a race. Amundsen, being used to cold, knew the best way to travel. That was with sleds pulled by dogs. The English were used to conquering with horses. But in the Arctic zone, dogs were king. Scott said, "No, we're going to use horses. We are Englishmen." So they sent horses to Antarctica and tried to use horses to pull their sleds across the frozen wasteland, and there was no grass anywhere. The horses died halfway to the South Pole, and finally the men had to pull the sleds manually. They managed to reach the South Pole, and can you imagine how discouraged they were when they were barely alive, and they got to the South Pole to find out the Norwegian flag was already there? They missed it by 4 weeks. On the way home, they crossed thousands of miles of frozen land, heading to a depot where they had shelter, food, and provisions. The last three alive, including Captain Scott, froze to death within 11 miles of the depot. They got into a blizzard and couldn't get out of their tent for days. You can read about it in his diary. They even knew they were 11 miles away. It was right there at hand. They said, "We are going to go through the blizzard and try and find the depot," but they froze in the attempt. Talk about how sad it was to be so close to the South Pole in a position in history and they missed it. And also to be so close to surviving and they missed it. To miss something in life and death is really sad. There are lots of stories of people being so close and they miss it. One more hill and they would have found it. Those stories are so tragic, to be so close and not get a hold of it. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand, available right now." Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Ask yourself, what is my priority in life? Is it seeking first the kingdom of God? Do you see yourself as an ambassador of another realm? Or are you getting too comfortable in the foreign land? My prayer is that you want to reach out and take God's kingdom, which is available right now. Bless each person that they might experience Christ in their hearts. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for giving us the promise of life eternal with you forever, the literal heaven, and giving us the promise that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and we can reach it by accepting you in our lives. That we are promised eternal life by reaching you. Help us to be courageous to want to preach this gospel to others, that they can have Christ in you, the hope of glory. In thy holy name, amen.